I want this evening to speak to four groups of people. First, I'm going to speak to those who've newly arrived in London or who've been in London for some time, but have only recently come to All Souls. As yet, you're very understandably only on the fringes of church life. But maybe you're wondering about getting stuck in, about whether to put your roots down here. And before you get more involved, you want to know exactly what this will mean in practice. Then secondly, I'm hoping to speak to those who've been coming to All Souls for some time, but don't really feel part of the church family. You're fairly sure that if your job took you away from London, or if you just decided not to come to church for some months, you wouldn't be missed. You look, for example, at those who bring round the bread and wine at the big communion services, and you can see that they must feel involved. And others like them, who are leaders in various fields, they too must know they're wanted. But not you, you feel. Then thirdly, I want to speak to those who are regular members, who come on Sunday every week, and to your fellowship group, and perhaps to the prayer gathering, and who do have a real sense of being part of the All Souls Church family, and yet you're conscious that you're giving nothing. It's all take, and never really putting anything back in. But the trouble is you wouldn't know where to begin. And fourth, I want to speak to a quite different group of people. To those who feel that, for the moment at least, you have nothing to give, because you're emotionally tender, you're battered. For the time being, you're not in a position to give help, but you need help. And you're asking, what is All Souls, what is the church to offer by way of support? St. Paul answers, I believe, all those questions in 1 Corinthians 12. He writes to a church which was, unlike All Souls, seriously divided, but like us, often uncertain of itself. And he explains what a fellowship of Christian believers is like, what God's purpose is in bringing Christians together. To make his points, St. Paul uses the picture of the human body, and through this picture makes three statements of very considerable importance to you if you belong to one of the four groups I've mentioned. And the first is this. You belong. This is his message in verses 14 to 20. Where he stresses that the people who make up any church are very varied, but still they all belong, whether they realize it fully or not, to one fellowship, one family. Look at the human body, says Paul in verse 14. It has a whole range of different organs or limbs. Some of these organs could be forgiven for feeling very different from others, even inferior. But it would be ridiculous, verse 15, for the foot to say that it wasn't part of the body just because it wasn't a hand. And it would be ludicrous, verse 16, for the ear to disclaim any connection with the body just because it has an idea that the eye is more important. What would be the good, verse 17, of a body that was all eyes or all ears and had no other senses, like the sense of smell? Verse 19 makes the same point. But in fact, verse 20, we know very well that we're made up of very different organs which together constitute a single human body. And Paul's fundamental point comes in verse 18. As it is, God arranged the organs in the body, each one of them, as he chose. Now this whole picture of the human body is being used by St. Paul to speak to the Corinthians about the church. The Corinthian church must have been fairly large. Paul had spent a long time there, over 18 fruitful months, and it was big enough to have, sadly, a number of factions within it. And some of the differences within their church are reflected in the Christian church today. For instance, there were differences over spiritual gifts. Some had the gift of speaking in tongues and probably looked down on others who didn't, while many who did not have this gift hankered after it. The Corinthians rather classified people, it seems, according to what gifts they had. And still today, people's different gifts can cause jealousies or rivalries or feelings of rejection. Some people can feel, if I don't have the gift of tongues, I'm only half a Christian. Others can say, I used to think I was musical until I met the All Souls Orchestra. But I wouldn't dare offer my services to Noel Tredinnick, even with my very sensitive rendering of Chopsticks on the Piano. Or you can feel, I see that my fellowship group leader is important to All Souls. She has something to contribute. But I'm nothing like as valuable as her. And St. Paul says, verse 15, if the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. You belong. It seems there were differences of racial groups in the Corinthian church. And the biggest was that mentioned in verse 13. Jews and Greeks. Bigger in the ancient world than our modern distinction of black and white or European and Asian. And these racial differences are here in All Souls. We have, for example, many Chinese, quite a number of Indians, people from West and East Africa, and so on. And how easy for you to feel this place is principally for Europeans, for the English. We others can come along, but we'll never be fully part of All Souls. And St. Paul says, verse 16, if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less part of the body. You belong. There were differences of social status in the Corinthian church. There were some, verse 13, who were on the bottom rung. They were slaves. But there were also free men and women. And you may feel this whole place is run by people from the upper classes. Take that new rector. I bet he went to some posh public school. And who's this man preaching at the moment with a strong, plummy accent? Even Roger's bought a suit and gone respectable. Not tonight, though. And you feel this isn't your scene at all. You'll never make it here. St. Paul says, verse 17, if the whole body were an eye, where would be the hearing? If the whole body were an ear, where would be the sense of smell? You belong. And there were, it seems, theological differences in the Corinthian church. Or at least in chapter 1, verses 11 and following, there were all sorts of different groups claiming they owed allegiance to different leaders. And perhaps it's that which makes you a little uneasy in All Souls. You find it all a bit too low church for your taste. You would call yourself charismatic in your theology. You don't believe in infant baptism. And you feel with these differences, you're never going to be right in at the heart of All Souls' life. St. Paul says, verse 20, as it is, there are many parts, yet one body. You belong. There are in All Souls, as at Corinth, many members from different backgrounds and with different gifts. Nevertheless, there is one body. It is nonsense to say, I'm different, I don't fit in. Whatever kind of Christian you are, you belong. Then second, you are needed. St. Paul now turns in verses 21 to 22 to think of those with the obvious, the more prominent gifts, the leaders in the church. Look again at the human body. The eye, verse 21, may be very important, but it cannot deny it needs the hand. Agreed, the head is absolutely essential, but so in a lesser way are the feet. In fact, in the human body, verse 22, the seemingly weaker organs, the lungs, the ankles, the discs in the spine, are quite indispensable, as anyone who's had trouble with them knows. And the point is that all parts are needed. It's easy for the fellowship group leader to think about his group and imagine, they need me, I don't need them. And this view of things can come to most leaders. I am a fairly self-sufficient person. I live alone, and if I can't cook, I can open a tin. I'm reasonably competent at anything I want to turn my mind to. I'm also a Christian leader. How easy to think, when the chips are down, I don't really need anybody else. And yet a moment's thought shows I need dozens of other people. Not only volunteers for the hundreds of physical tasks, but friends for emotional support. St. Paul says, verse 21, the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. But it also works the other way around. You can look at All Souls and say, everything's so slick, it runs so smoothly. I'm not needed. What nonsense. Last week I was at a meeting to discuss the creche, and their desperate need is for many more helpers. In the Sunday school, one lady is having to teach three classes because of lack of teachers. We have no group for the later teenagers because the leaders are not forthcoming. The heads of the PA team and the tape library work ridiculous hours because their teams are so small. The choir is always on the lookout for more suitable recruits, especially tenors. One of the staff is looking around for a volunteer secretary, and so on. Now, this is not, as you might think, a commercial. It is simply to bring out the truth in this passage. You may think that typing labels for the tapes or helping quieten a young child in the creche is a pretty pathetic form of service. But on the contrary, verse 22, it is indispensable. And because so many here are not involved in service, some forms of ministry, like our teenage group, simply don't happen. Others go limping along, and some members are desperately overburdened. The body was made by God with different limbs to share the load, to perform different functions. You are needed. And then thirdly, you are cared for. Paul continues with his picture of the human body in verses 23 to 26. Of course, verse 23, there are some parts of our body which we consider less honourable. Our pot belly. Our knobbly knees. But our natural reaction is to invest, or more literally clothe, these in a finer way to make up for their lesser honour. We also have, verse 23, unpresentable parts. Our sexual organs, which we feel we should keep private and concealed. Other parts of our body, verse 24, we feel we can show off to great effect. But these parts, verse 23, we treat with modesty. So, verse 24 again, God has given different properties to each bodily organ. And the parts which are not naturally so beautiful are clothed with greater splendor. And why has God arranged things in this way? Why hasn't He made us all omnicompetent, like John Stott or Michael Lawson? The answer seems to be obvious. So that, verse 25, there may be no discord in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. And again, verse 26, if one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together. Animal life, says the theory of evolution, runs on the principle of survival of the fittest. The Christian church, says St. Paul, runs on the principle of support of the weakest. There's a danger that we forget this in a large church like All Souls, but we should be a place that is famous for the care we give. Now, caring for people is a labor-intensive occupation. Here is a work for masses of Christians. You may not feel, for one reason or another, you could serve on the welcome desk, or the book-mending group, or the team of the International Fellowship. But in your fellowship group, you could care for one or two people who are emotionally battered, who at the moment haven't much to give. You could enter into their sufferings and their joys so that they will know they are cared for. So let me return to my four groups. Are you newly arrived in London or here at All Souls? I don't know, of course, whether All Souls is the right place for you or some other church. But wherever you decide to go, don't stay on the touchlines. Don't just come on Sundays and peer down from the galleries. No offense meant to those of you who are up there. You are an organic part of the church you go to. You are part of a growing body. And the body will grow as it should if you know you belong. Have you been coming for some time but still don't feel a part of the family? You feel no one really needs you. In one sense, you're right. The body can do without a finger, a toe, one of its limbs. But each organ would be missed. And the body would be weaker without you. Are you regular at All Souls, feeling you belong and yet giving nothing? The body is functioning without your help, but only at half cock. You may have few gifts to offer, But we need you badly. Or are you feeling utterly drained emotionally with nothing to give other people? Society may reject you. It may have no time for you. But this church must not, will not. This is the picture St. Paul paints of the Christian fellowship. And this is the church on this Thanksgiving Sunday I rededicate myself to gladly. Let us pray. First, a moment of silence. Our Thanksgiving Day as a church. Let's determine to be more like that church St. Paul paints in his beautiful picture of the human body. Here's a prayer to pray with me silently. Father, I am one limb, just one limb. I need every other organ in this body you've given me. And thank you for such a fully limbed body as All Souls. Father, I confess that sometimes this year I've been out of joint, not playing my part in the healthy functioning of this church body here. I ask your forgiveness and the forgiveness of the other members. Help me to be a healthy limb, a functioning limb, a growing limb throughout this year, contributing to the glorious growth of your body here for your name's sake. Amen.